First of all, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it very much. I want to speak tonight about a topic that's very important. And it's not my topic, so I can even dare say it very well is probably the most important topic we'll speak about all year. And that's a bold statement, but I think it's true. So, we'll start, as is customary perhaps, with the parasha, this week's parasha. Parsha's Vayechi, assuming we get to Lainey. You know, Kabbal Shabbos eventually wraps up, and we eat, and so, luckily it's a short parasha. You guys should enjoy. Let's just say I'll be well rested on Sunday. Okay. So, we speak in the beginning of the parasha about Ephraim and Menashe. Yaakov Avinu first anoints them as Shvatim. Shnei Banechan Oladim L'chaber Tzatzayim Adboi Elach Mitzrayim Alihem. Ephraim and Menashe, Cheruvim V'Shimon Yehuli. Ephraim and Menashe are anointed as Shvatim. Ephraim preceding Menashe already in this sense. And then later, of course, the famous brachas, in which we have Ephraim and Menashe being set forth by Yosef in the correct order, and Yaakov Avinu switching the hands with famous incident. Now when Yosef tries to correct Yaakov Avinu and tells him that I set them up correctly, the Bechor is really, if you stretch out your right hand, it'll be on the Bechor. Yadati b'ni yadati, answers Yaakov Avinu, gam hu yelom gam hu yigdal v'ulam achiv hakatov nigdal mimenu v'zaro yem elo hagoyim. What unbelievable frustration, I guess, for Menashe, for all of you who have younger brothers, right? The younger brother, Achiv Akotu Nigdamen, Ephraim will be greater. Hence, he deserves the right hand, perhaps retroactively. Hence, he deserved to be declared a Shevet before Menashe. Ephraim u Menashe Cheruvim Bishimon Yehuli. And of course, the question is why? So Rashi already brings in one of the Perushim, true, we have Gidon who will come from Menashe, and Gidon, he will do miracles. Miracles are nice. Miracles are cute. But Ephraim will beget Yoshua, who will bring Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and he'll teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. Apparently, and we'll prove this in a moment, that one of the major advantages Ephraim had over Menashe was that Yaakov perceived Ephraim as being greater in Torah. And thus, despite the fact that Menashe is the older son, and if one reads in the Emes to Yaakov, there's a fascinating part, despite the fact that Menashe perhaps may have been more connected to the ancestral family, to the Avos, Teretz Canaan, etc., the naming of the sons, still Ephraim is considered better. Ephraim is considered more. We can have an insight into this from the Rashi earlier in the parasha. Vayomel Yosef, hine avicho chole. And the pasuk does not say who tells Yosef that Yaakov Avinu is sick. And of course, Rashi brings two perushim, as we know. Echad mina magidim, vareze mikra katzar. The pasuk leaves out a few words, but really it was one of the magidim. It doesn't mean one of the magidim who used to go from city to city, you know, earning some money for saying drashes. One of the people, a messenger, came and told Yosef. Second perush, Yeshom Ephraim, Hayarogel Tnei Yaakov B'Talmud. Ephraim used to hang around by Yaakov Avinu learning. Ukshecholo Yaakov Beretz Goshen, Halach Ephraim, Etzel Ovid, L'Mitzrayim, Lahagid Lo. Ephraim was there when he got sick. He saw, because he used to be by Yaakov Avinu, every day learning. Right, beautiful. Grandsons, spending time with the grandfather, the youngest grandson, spending time with the grandfather. And the grandfather, wrinkled and wizened, and the young, soft-skinned grandchild sitting together, passing the days, learning together. It's a beautiful image. Sometimes it's dafka the youngest grandchild also, no? If you've been to Bnei Brak and you've davened in the Letterman Shul, you've probably seen the Chaim Kanievsky, right? Especially if you like davening really early in the morning. And the person davening next to him with the big black beard who sometimes helps him up and helps him down, the youngest child, the Ben Zakunim. He apparently was born much after all the other children. Sometimes it's the youngest relative who develops that special relationship. There it's a son, not a grandson. And Ephraim used to stay by Yaakov Avinu to learn. Says the Sifsei Chachamim, how do they know? Who are these Yishomer in Rashi? The Yishomer was Ephraim. Ephraim used to learn by Yaakov Avinu. Sounds great. Bring a raya. You know, someone's checking you out for a shit up. I had a call just in the car, so the topic's not mine. Someone's checking someone out. So, which usually also helps people be more attentive when I speak. Right? So, someone's checking someone out, and you can tell any story you want. Oh, yeah, you learned by the so-and-so, and then by the that, and then whatever. And you learned there, and here, and the other one, the chavrusa with this, the chavrusa with that. How do we know? Bring a raya. Right? So, Sifsei Chon says, Rayosa midechsid lakamon, the raya for these Yeshomim is what it says later in the parasha, the Yaakov Avinu blessed Ephraim with the stronger hand, with the right hand. Why? Torah! Yaakov Avinu had a special affinity for Ephraim, because Ephraim, mishum she Ephraim hoya bal Torah v'hiskil yosef mimenashe, a stronger learner. Right? Menashe was sitting in the palace, he was translating, yeah, it was a little bit of a macher. I'm not criticizing Chas v'Shalom, but extrapolating from the words here a bit. And Ephraim, he learned with Yaakov Avinu. So he gets the stronger bracha. This is how Yaakov Avinu knew. Chassam Sofer over there on the parsha has a similar mahalach about how it was clear to both Yaakov and to Yosef that Ephraim was the learner of the two. And Menashe was a very, very positive person, but had a slightly different role. So I wanted to talk, for this reason, reason number one, about Talmud Torah. Importance of Torah. I should start again. Importance of Talmud Torah. Okay. There's another reason that this topic is so important. There's another reason this topic is critical to talk about right now, tonight, not next week. Would have been better, I guess, last week or 2 weeks ago. But, whatever. We are now in the middle of Chorus Man. The thrill, the sound, lights, and fury of Hanukkah have passed. And in the middle of Chorus Man. And these Shabbos and these days are the shortest, quote-unquote, the shortest days of the year. Now, obviously every day has 24 hours. The longest nights. And there's a special skula regarding nights and Talmud Torah. Perhaps you've heard this, and it bears repeating. And this is going to frame the topic that we're going to speak about this evening. The Rambam, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Perek Gimel, and it's brought down also in the Shulchan Aruch. So, it's not just a Sephardi custom. Aval pisha mitzvah loma b'yom v'layla, ein adam lomei rov chachmoso elo b'layla. Lefichach misherotza liskos v'kesra Torah. It's a good thing I'm not giving the shiur like in an afternoon slot, huh? Yizayel b'chol elosav v'lo yovar afilu achzman b'shein avachli u'shtir v'sicha. Be careful with every night. The nights are precious for learning. Misherotza liskos v'kesra Torah has to be careful with his nights. Spend your nights b'talmud Torah v'divrei chachma. Do you see, by the way, the Yitzhar Hara is such, he's so devious. If you had to go through the entire world and decide which is, you know, the more insidious part of the day, the part where people trip up, right? No, the days most people, you know, either they're hungover or they're asleep or they're at work, which keeps them off the streets. Most people stay kind of straight, but the nights, whew, that's when, you know, it's time to let the hair down, proverbially, we'll say, right? And that's the time to. Because really, the nights have extra spiritual power. I don't know how to explain this. I'm not a Kabbalist. But a Rambam, I know how to translate. And the Rambam continues and says, based on the pasuk, Kum yironi balayla ein mina shel Torah ela balayla. There's a certain mellifluous beauty to the tones of Torah learned at night. So says the Rambam. Etc. And on the negative, anyway, we'll stay positive. Right? Critical, unique importance of Talmud Torah in the evenings. And this is brought almost word for word in the Torah near Adair Ishman Vav. It's really based on a Gemara in Erevin. The nights were created for learning. Probably should look at the Mefarshim there to understand perhaps what the special school is, but whatever. And he points out that really, the Gemara there is referring, says the Shach, on the Shulchan Aruch over there, really, what are those nights that the Gemara is talking about? The nights were created for learning? Lele Tufas Teves Harug. Those long, sweet Teves nights. Cautions the Shach. Certainly one should still also sleep, not to learn the whole night. Okay, there we go. However, you should realize the special significance and the ikur of Torah in those nights. And this is brought in Aruch Chaim also, if you look in Reish Lamed Ches, that learning at night is more special than learning during the day, so we don't have to bring Maor Makomos upon Maor Makomos. Special learning in the nights. These are the long nights, what we have right now. This is a special time for Talmud Torah. You know, the Shagas Aryeh was a famous Rav, right? A sefer known for his brilliance. I don't remember who was it that commented. Maybe it was Reb Chaim who commented that it's unclear as to who is the greater Gaon, the Vilna Gaon or the Shagas Aryeh. I say that not to disparage the Vilna Gaon, but just so we should appreciate who the Shagas Aryeh was. He was incredibly poor. Incredibly poor. Many stories abound about his intense poverty. In fact, I think it was the second time he came back for a second round of being the rabbi in Metz. And the custom was, maybe it was the first time, he was the first round maybe. And the custom in the town was that the first day when the rabbi moved in, he would host a big reception for all of the community elders, and he'd have to put out a spread. Right? Great custom, right? The rabbi, first day, we're expecting a good spread. Yeah? And of course he would deliver a Torah drasha, and perhaps there would be questions, answers, whatever it might be. But the people who brought the Shagas Aryeh to the community knew and realized that the Shagas Aryeh had no money. So one of the wealthier Balabatim, the day the Shagas Aryeh moved in, came over earlier in the day and said, look, you're probably aware of, nervous of the custom to put out the spread, you know, later this evening, everyone's going to be coming over. So he brought over plates, he brought over silverware, and he brought over food. Coffee, tea, you know, milk, sugar, whatever, cakes. So this way the Shagas Aryeh would have what to put out. So the Shagas, everyone comes and sits down, and the Rebbetzin Aryeh comes out, and the last name really wasn't Aryeh, but whatever. No, register, sir. So the Rebbetzin comes out with hot tea. It's a cold day. Cold day. Let's come on. Comes out with tea, well, not tea, tea and coffee. So, perhaps you've been in this situation, everyone takes a nice cup of coffee, and the same reaction, you take a sip, and it's utterly horrible. Early preacher, you took something, and, this is going to be awesome. I remember when we went to Rav Aaron's sukkah, on sukkahs, from the kol. So, the Rebbetzin had made a cake, right? So, here we go, the Rebbetzin made a cake, so we're all, you know. So everyone takes a nice slice of cake. I think everyone took more or less at the same time. Everyone was waiting for everyone else to eat. So everyone actually had a piece. And then the first, I think I might have been the first guy actually, makes a mezonos, leishi basuka, takes a bite. Now in America, no one would ever think of this. I don't even know how to translate it into English. But you ever heard of the word pereg in Hebrew? That thing that looks like chocolate and really should be chocolate, but it isn't. Dear God, it isn't. So it was so heavy. Oh, is it called poppy seeds? Is that it? It was so heavy on the perek. It wasn't chocolate at all. Not at all. And you look around and you see everyone with that same reaction, trying to choke down bite after bite. Achilo l'shem shamayim, not l'shem taiva. Not the Rebbetzin shouldn't be embarrassed. If I were to look around and see everyone has one piece of cake with one little bite out of it. You know, who's going to make the alamichia? Who's going to explain why no one's making an alamichia? What? So the Shagas Aryeh's wife brings out the coffee. Everyone takes a sip. Oh, it's horrible. Thick, strong, bitter. So everyone's looking around. Where's the sugar or something sweetener? But anything. Nothing. So what can you do? Everyone chokes down a cup of coffee. And then, finally, they're talking and learning. The next course comes out. Platters of sugar cubes. The rich person had brought over sugar with the coffee, but in the Shagas Aryeh's house, they were so poor that they didn't have coffee, kavachomer, not sugar cubes, a luxury. Sugar cubes. So they didn't know what to do with it. They figured it was candy. So she served it the next course as candy. Unbelievable how poor the Shagas Aryeh was. So the Shagas Aryeh writes about himself that he was too poor It was harder for him to, it was harder, yet it was more delectable for him to learn during the winter. Because they didn't have electricity, but all the people who had any standing, you had candles. But the Shagas Ari's family couldn't afford candles. And he writes, "Never was my Talmud Torah sweeter than those long winter nights learning to the light of the moon." He would try to catch the angle when the moon was out, and he would learn to the light of the moon. The long winter nights. That was his best learning. So I want to talk about the topic, why is Talmud Torah important? Why is Ephraim greater than Menashe? Menashe was probably a tzaddik. Menashe was a whatever he... I'm not saying anything bad about Menashe. And what's this whole thing about long winter nights? Maybe it's cute in yeshiva, it's cool, you stay up. Why do we learn? Why is it important to learn Torah? Why is it important to learn Torah as opposed to mitzvos? Mitzvos are also important. Why is it important to learn Torah as opposed to doing other things? Right? A lot of us plan on doing other things at some point in life. Is that legitimate? If you never asked the question, man, you should have. And no matter how many answers you already have for the question, so you should have more. So let's go. The Mishnah says in Pei Aleph Aleph, Eilu Dvorim Sheilam Shir, we mumble this every morning. HaPeya Vabikurim V'arayim V'yil Sassonim V'tamah Torah, continues the Mishnah, Eilu Dvorim Sheilam Shir, V'arayim V'yil Sassonim V'tamah Torah, V'tamah Torah K'neged Kulam. Twice, Talmud Torah is mentioned in the Mishnah. First of all, Ein Lo Shir, and you're thinking, yeah, like Peya, right? No. So, okay. Let's put down Zroim as one of the things we should also have on our learning schedule. Ein Lo Shir says the Perush, one of the classic Perush on the Mishnah, the Rash, Talmud Torah Ein Lo Shir, V'gisa B'yomam V'layla. You're not done. If you think you're done, you're not done. Peya of the Shir is really no minimum, right? But there's no... it's all, anything, make right there. That was the joke before. Talmud Torah, it's all the time. All the time. And it quotes the Gemara Shos of Yeshua, Ma'ashimut alun zro yelamin alun chokma yavanis. Can I teach my child chokma yavanis? Amo lahem yelamdeinu b'shoshenu lo yom v'lo layla l'chsiv v'gisiv l'yom v'layla. You have a chiv of Talmud Torah all the time. What about the second time in the Mishnah when it says Talmud Torah? That's about Ochel Peroseh and Balam Azad HaKarakaz Malam Abba V'Talmud Torah K'neged Kulam. What does that mean? Again, the Perush says Talmud Torah is more important than other mitzvahs. Not just that the shir is greater, inherently more important than other mitzvahs. Talmud Torah K'neged Kulam, it says in the Yerushalmi Machlokes Chad Omar, afilu kolam kulam enu shava afilu darechem na Torah. One day the Rishami says, even everything in the world, not worth one davar echad. Davar echad, what's davar echad? A vort, a shir, sounds like even a word. Sounds like even a word. And the other says, kol mitzvoseh shel Torah enu shavas l'darechem na Torah. Put all the mitzvahs in the Torah on one side, and put Talmud Torah on the other side, one Talmud Torah, one act of Talmud Torah is more important. Wow. I remember the story was told when I was in the very outset, when I was in Rav Tversky's shir, which was his first year in YU, my first year in YU, Rav Meir Tversky's first year, so there were some of the guys, he had been I don't mean to chas v'shalom denigrate him at all, it's the end of the story, we'll show, he had been the senior Rebbe in MTA the year before, and he had moved up, and a lot of the guys in his class had moved up early admissions. So I was a new guy. I was from Hafter. What did I know? Right? I was just trying to hold the Gemara straight. Right? Although I didn't mean to imply, in Hafter I learned a lot of Torah from a lot of wonderful Rabbeim. But relative to these guys who were learning from Trotsky, I was behind. Right? So I got some good stories. So one of the guys told me last year when they came around to take the pictures for the yearbook, it was hilarious. So everyone's in the room, they have chavrus, the time of Tversky sitting at the desk learning. So the secretary comes in with the photographer, right? And they take pictures, right? So everyone reacts differently when the photographer comes in, and whatever, we won't go there, because I'm bad. And so the secretary says, our rabbi, The photographer wants to take a couple pictures for the yearbook. So he looks up from his sefer and says, I'm busy. I'm learning now. And he continues learning. So maybe we could just do you have a minute though to just take a break from that learning for the photographer? He says, right now, I'm learning now. Okay, so maybe I'll come back later with him, when you're done learning. When should we come back? So he looks up one last time, he says, I hope to always be learning. And he continues. Now, I don't know if someone wants to go check out the yearbook, see if Rotursky's picture appears. I don't know. But Talmud Torah is quantitatively different in the shiur, and apparently qualitatively different from all mitzvahs. Not even forget about other stuff. Qualitatively different from all mitzvahs. And let's continue that theme. Perhaps you've heard, maybe you will hear, and I'm not going to go into this, but many mafarshim speak at the pasuk in Mishlei, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. Mitzvahs are a candle, and Torah is light. And there are so many beautiful perushim about this that I'll leave them for someone else to say, because I feel it's been said before. Also an expression of the uniqueness of Talmud Torah, even relative to mitzvahs. Moreover, the Nefesh HaChaim, I think Rav Cohen wasn't so serious when he said 11:45, so I'm not going to go that long, so I'm trying to speak at a decent clip. The Nefesh HaChaim, in the Prokim, in between Perek Gimel and Perek Dalet in the Nefesh HaChaim, begins to approach the subject of mitzvahs and Talmud Torah Lishma. And he has a very, very fascinating equation. He's speaking there about the idea of learning Torah, shelo lishma. And this is a whole other discussion. And the Nefesh HaChaim is a great place to have this discussion. But for whatever the reason, the Nefesh HaChaim is explaining how critical it is to learn Torah, even Talmud Torah, shelo lishma. And chas v'shalom, a person shouldn't disparage someone who learns shelo lishma. And chas v'shalom, a person should think that the only right way to learn Torah is Talmud Torah Lishma. And he creates this equation. One might make a mistake and think that the most critical aspect is Kavanah. And if one's faced with doing mitzvahs Lishma, Rabbi, if I do to go to visit the sick and to go to, feed the orphans, I'm going to be really fired up. I'm going to be full of energy. It's going to be great. And between you and me learning, I can force myself. I can learn. But I'm telling you, the hislavas, the passion, it's not going to be there. Says Nefesh HaChaim, Talmud Torah Shelo Lishma, is clearly superior to a mitzvah even Lishma. Even a mitzvah Lishma. Yeah. Proves it there and speaks about the critical importance of Talmud Torah, even Lo Lishma. And if we've ever had a negative thought about someone who's learning Torah, we think, oh, what a faker. Oh, he's not really serious. So we need to read that Nefesh HaChaim. We shouldn't be so cynical. Lastly, let's just mention Halacha L'maisa. We all know the Halacha, and this is also brought down in the Rambam. In Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet, a famous Rambam. Hayu L'fonav Asiyas Mitzvah V'Talmud Torah. You have a choice between doing the mitzvah and learning Torah. What's greater? Based on everything we said, the answer, this is a gimme. In Efshar L'mitzvah Sosayidei Acherim, Lo Yafsik Talmudo. If the mitzvah can be done by someone else, learn Torah and don't do the mitzvah. V'im lav, what if it's not? This is the classic mitzvah she'yavshel el sozayidei acherim. Yaseh ha-mitzvah v'yachso le-talmudo. Famous words of the Rambam. In fact, when this halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Mem Vav, the Shulchan Aruch adds a few words to the beginning of the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Talmud Torah shakul keneged kol ha-mitzvos, and then continues with the language of the Rambam, Hagel l'fanav asiyas mitzvah Talmud Torah, which of course is the pshat. Why do we say that we learn rather than do a mitzvah, unless it's a mitzvah that can't be done by someone else? Because Talmud Torah is keneged kol ha-mitzvos, qualitatively better. Qualitatively better. Unbelievable. What's this yachso l'talmudo? This is famous. Even when we do mitzvahs, the idea is supposed to be that we're taking a break in our learning. Meaning, from a certain perspective, we wake up in the morning, we're learning the whole day. Things come up. Got to daven. Although Gemara and Shabbos maybe questions that, but halacha l'maisa, we daven, right? So, we daven. You got to eat. If you don't eat, you're not going to be able to learn. Well, you know, fast days excluded. So we eat a little bit, and then we start learning. Maybe stuff comes up, mitzvahs that have to be done by me. You know, there's a mitzvah, an old lady, no one's there to cross her the street. Okay, I better go cross the street. Come back, I keep learning. Whoa, family's starving, gotta go make some money. So, go out, work a little bit, come back, keep learning, right? Etc., etc. Big chumash test in third grade tomorrow. That's not really called learning when you help study for that. So, you go help your kids study for the chumash, whatever it is. But the way the Rambam makes it sound, we're always in a constant state of Talmud Torah, just with legitimate breaks. V'yachso l'talmudo. Unbelievable. This is, I think, one of the classic pshatim in the idea behind Birch Sator. We make Birch Sator once in the morning, and then that's it. What happened? Of course, it's always v'yachso l'talmudo. We're always about to come right back. Right? It's like those stores, you know, they have this sign, we'll be back momentarily. Sometimes, you know, that just means... whatever, it might mean nothing, but you know what? The Chavetz Chaim has a brilliant pshat based on this, on a famous Mishnah Novos. The Mishnah Novos says, "In Batalta min haTorah, yesh l'cha harbe b'teil k'negdecha." Let's say there's someone who's not sitting here right now. They made a mistake and they went off somewhere to waste some time, right? I don't believe that there's anyone who did that, but whoever they are, and there are probably a couple, make sure they get a recording of this segment. To know that they were remembered here with us, you know, just they shouldn't feel left out. So they made a mistake. And they went, don't really, they made a mistake. And they went somewhere else, right? So, this guy, what do you tell this guy? Look, nothing personal, but you missed Night Seder Thursday night. That's not good, that's not smooth. Says the Mishnah Avos, you missed Night Seder Thursday night? You got a lot of Bittul Torah to account for, pal. What do you mean you got a lot of Bittul Torah to account for? I'm thinking, well, if you miss Thursday night, what are the odds of a 9:15 showing on Sunday, huh? I don't know. But that's not what does the Mishnah say? You should be, whatever Bittul Torah you have. What do you mean, hire a Bittul and connect Echa? The Mishnah doesn't make sense. So the Chavetz Chaim explains that this Mishnah is talking about someone who goes to work. Okay. So what's Pshat? Someone goes to work. How can a person go to work? You got to learn, no? So, person says to Ribbono Shalom, hello. There's a chiyuv to be mefarnes the family. True, chiyuv to mefarnes the family. Anus! So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I hear. That's legitimate. However, let's see what happens when you come home from at night after work. If at night, in Bataltam in a Torah, instead of going out at nights to learn a little, or even a lot, instead you just sit around wasting time, then, whoa. Don't tell me that, look, I'm really learning non-stop, just that I had to take this 9-to-5 break because I had to be mefarnes the family. That's not legitimate, because what happened when you came home? You're still wasting time. So, in Bataltam in a Torah, the times you do have to learn, you're wasting those times, says the Chavetz Chaim. Yeshcha har bebetel and k'negdecha. Then all the time that you were out doing things that you are anus, it's not an excuse. Not an excuse. Well, what's the flip side of this pshat? Im lo batalta min haTorah, I'm a seder. When I have to do things, I do them. But as soon as I'm yachso l'talmudo, as soon as I'm available, so you're good. Then you're good. That's the pshat. So it seems pretty clear that there's something very significant going on with Talmud Torah. Something so significant that it's even the perpetual state of a person. Something so significant that makes it superior to worldly activities, and even superior to mitzvahs. So you have to explain this. The truth is, even before we explain this, can I just put in one more point? I can't introduce just the idea of Chashivas HaTorah before we explain what is so chashiv about Torah. You just have to mention the famous words of the Nefesh HaChaim. It's also found the Ruach HaChaim Vav Aleph. I'll tell you all the Ma'amar Komos, then you know the idea. You know, chashivas HaTorah, Nefesh HaChaim. It's coming right now. The Ma'amar Komos for you to know, and you should read them inside, the Ruach HaChaim, Perish of the Ruach HaChaim Veloshon on Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph, the Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Dalet, both in chapter Yud Aleph and in chapter Chafet. Both places, the Nefesh HaChaim has the famous idea. What's the famous idea? Says the Mishnah, La'od el shakol alam kulo kedayim. We'll say from Pirkei Avos. Someone who's learning Torah, says the Mishnah, Kol ha'olam kulo kedayim. The whole world is worth it for this one guy. What's that mean? Says the Nefesh HaChaim in all three places. In Rega Achas Haya Nifsa Divrei Torah Mikol HaOlam Meoskei V'Shomrei, if the whole world would be silent from learning Torah for even a moment, we've heard this, and we should look it up and read it inside. Hayu Shemayim V'Aretz Nefachu Mesovavo, the world would cease. Now, there's only one way to test it, and we're not going to try it. Right? But, if the Nefesh HaChaim, when he says in the Nefesh HaChaim, he writes, Va'emes B'li Shom Sofei Klal. So, which he's not just meaning, don't say Torahs. I mean it. Which the Nefesh HaChaim. So the whole world would be destroyed. And he quotes Pesukim, Lo Brisi Yom Valayla, Chuk Shemayim Baruch Lo Samti. People invoke the Gemara on Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a tznai with the entire world. Vayerev Vayevok Yom HaShishi, which Shishi? The sixth of Sivan. The whole world's here on condition that the sixth of Sivan goes right. Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah. Sixth of Sivan doesn't go right, it's all over. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And this, the Nefesh HaChaim quotes, is the Pshat, V'chaye Olam Nota B'Sochenu. The sustenance and continuation of the world, he handed over and implanted in us. Now, it's a famous words of Nefesh HaChaim. Somehow, I link this with those long nights. The long nights, it's dark, it's late, maybe some people are sleeping, and a person looks out across the world from a base medrash window and thinks to himself, here I stand holding up the whole world. It's a beautiful, beautiful thought, a beautiful feeling. And so it's so appropriate from Chaim Volozhiner, because we know that in Volozhin, what was one of the unique innovations of Volozhin? They learned 24 hours. Not the same people, they had shifts, round the clock. 24 hours. They asked the Netziv shared a wall with the Beis Medrash. How can you sleep? There's always learning in the Beis Medrash. And the Netziv answered, he says, how can I, the only time I wouldn't be able to sleep is there would be no learning in the Beis Medrash. It's like a, I think he gave the example of someone who has a mill, something that grinds wheat. So apparently the rocks grinding the wheat make a lot of noise. So he says, you know when he can't sleep? If suddenly it's silent. Oh my gosh, the mill stopped, something's broken, what's wrong? He suddenly jumps out of bed. But as long as he hears that comforting hum of the mill going, he sleeps like a log. That's what the Netziv said. The Netziv didn't sleep that much, but that's another story. But the time he slept, to sleep with the sounds of the Beis Medrash, 24 hours. He used to go, it relates to the story that I didn't tell earlier today, so whoever missed it, we're going to miss it again, just you should realize. So it's unbelievable. So no one feels like they lost that. Because everyone lost. So, Talmud Torah is something cosmically important. So if we didn't know why we learned 15, 20 minutes ago, right now, we should be 10 times more frustrated. Because apparently, it's the most important thing. Now, first things first, even just realizing the importance of something can give a person a tremendous appreciation for it, even if they don't understand why it's important. Right? Two people working the same job. Same job, obviously not in the same, or even maybe in the same company. Let's do a study. Two people working the same job, one guy's making twice the salary of the other guy. Who enjoys their job more? Well, the guy making twice as much. Fine. Who values their work more? The guy making twice as much. My job is important. How do I know it's important? You know how much I'm making for this job? This is a big job. This is an important job. Well, I'll bring another example. So, in my personal sports history, which is, not such an illustrious one, despite rumors to the effect otherwise, so there was a critical moment covered by most major sports outlets, in which it took a little while for me to get there, but I was a basketball guy for a while, right? For a while, and then at some point I became a hockey guy. Now, what's pshat? So at the time, I really thought I just began to enjoy hockey more and more. I was around end of ninth grade, by 10th grade, 100% hockey. Right? What happened? So in retrospect, it's obvious what happened. It became clear to me that in basketball, I don't want to be a ball guy, but I don't want to sell myself short. I would be, average. six guys, six, you know, six man, whatever it's called, type of thing. You know, not a starter, not a star. The Seder. You know, made the JV. I don't know that I would have been a star. I wouldn't have been. But it became clear to me that in hockey, I had some potential. So, suddenly I found myself liking hockey more and more. Because the more a person feels something's important, in hockey I'm going to be big. Now, of course, in retrospect, like, if we think of all the biggies in the Yeshiva Hockey League, not that I ever became one of the classic, iconic biggies, but even if we think of the biggies, and we think, I think actually, I'll just surprise Ricone for a moment. I think he mentioned that he knew actually where Irwin Wells was. Did you the one who told me that? No? Oh. Yeah. Right? So, nothing, even the iconic, real biggies, how big are they? Right? Huh? The other Seagull's thinking, like, what is he talking about? Like, outside of the bubble known as, like, Five Towns and Teaneck, it's like, get a life. Right? And you're right. You're right. We should get a life. You and me. Right? We gotta live in the present, you know what I'm saying? So, but what's pshat? The pshat was that in hockey, I felt, oh, this is chivas. We're going to play. We're going to be on top lines. We're going to win championships. And in basketball, six man on the JV, chivas. So suddenly you find yourself without a paycheck. We enjoy things that we find valuable. So step one, Torah is something massively important. Now, I want to speak for as long as time where people's patience remains. Now this is a conversation that starts now and doesn't end. I mean, not right now. Doesn't end, you know, in different contexts. Why is Torah so important? Why is Torah so important? I'll say a few ideas. At some point I'll get the feeling that people are starting to drift, and then I'll go to, you know, wherever it is on page 6 over here where it says conclusion. We'll do the conclusion thing and then we'll end. Right? But let's start. Let me start with something. We'll start easy, slow. I mean, we'll build from the technical to the fundamental. So the Chofetz Chaim has a, I don't know if it's cute or fantastic idea. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Moves v'chaim v'yad haloshon. Now we know the Chofetz Chaim sees a pasuk that has to do with speech, so the Chofetz Chaim is all over it. I thought I remembered this board being in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim itself. I couldn't remember where it was. I did remember it was also in the Torah Sabai, so the Chofetz Chaim that I found in the first parak. I think it's in the notes in the first parak of the Chofetz Chaim. And he teaches the pasuk as follows. Talmud Torah is great, awesome, powerful, because it is the most efficient and effective of any mitzvah you could do. Hence, we'll always end up in a situation of Chaim v'mavis b'yad haloshon. You want to know, Achamei v'simshana, what's gonna end up tipping the scales? It's gonna be something to do with speech. Either for the positive, Talmud Torah, or the negative, Lashon Hara. Why? Because when we're dealing with Talmud Torah, Lashon Hara, we're dealing with exponential things. And he explains as follows. First, let's say Lashon Hara, the negative side. Lashon Hara, when you speak Lashon Hara, says Chofetz Chaim, it's not just you doing an Aveira. You're wearing shatness. Okay. So you did an Aveira, which is bad. But Lashon Hara, so we know the Chofetz Chaim teaches us there's up to 17 different Lavin, 13 Bittul Asays, and just for good measure, 3 Arurs. So a person speaks Lashon Hara, they're working, the meter is running exponentially. It's like the taxi meters for the tourists, right? Somehow the meter is just flying away, the number's going and going and going. That's in 3 sentences. Oh, yeah, that'll be 126. 126! 3 sentences! What about for the good? So the Chofetz Chaim points out that Ribono Shel Olam did something astounding in terms of the power of speech. Usually, to do physical actions, it takes thought, you have to work it out, right? Especially for the less coordinated amongst us. Speech, to get out every word, our teeth, lips, tongues, and the speech therapist will go through everything. There's a lot of things going out just to get out one word. And chas v'shalom, someone has trouble speaking, it can be terrible. But we're able to fluently get out so many words. The Chofetz Chaim estimates that an average person gets about 200 words a minute. 200 words a minute. Right? So, says the Chofetz Chaim, the Gra teaches that every word of Talmud Torah is a mitzvah, and not just a mitzvah, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam. So every word of Torah is equivalent to 613 mitzvahs. Now do the math. 200 words per minute. Each word, 613 mitzvahs. That means in 1 minute, I did the math beforehand, they're not doing this right now, 122,600 mitzvahs. Or, I practiced this at home, this sentence is worth 6,130 mitzvahs. Except I stumbled in the middle. That's a good shaila. If you stumble and say wrong, is that considered part, whatever it is? What about, let's say you actually managed to learn a whole hour straight. A whole hour straight. 7,356,000 mitzvahs. I ask, is SportsCenter worth it? Is that an hour or a half hour SportsCenter? Whatever, because I didn't figure out the numbers for a half hour of Torah. But, so says the Chofetz Chaim, Chaim v'mavos v'yad ha'lashon, Talmud Torah is the most astounding mitzvah. The meter never runs faster than when you're learning Torah. So the next time you're thinking, yeah, an extra 5 minutes of Torah, what's the big deal? Give yourself some chizik. An extra 5 minutes of Torah, what's that? Over half a million mitzvahs. According to the calculation of the Chofetz Chaim and the Gra. You think, nah, that's not really true. Okay, so get to Olam Hab, and the Rosh Hashanah say, nah, it's not worth that much. The Chofetz Chaim and the Gra says it is. No payoff. They can cover you. It's like going out to eat with a rich friend. Don't worry. You know what I'm saying? You're ordering, can I cover this? I'm out with so-and-so. If worse comes... See, again, the Chofetz Chaim and the Gra are there, trust me. They'll cover you. They got it covered. Let's look about the more fundamental things. How is a person supposed to know at all what to do with the world? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a beautiful world. How are we supposed to know what to do with the world? The only way you're ever going to know what to do in this world is if you learn Torah. Torah is the instructions for the world. Torah is the instructions for the world. The word Torah. What does the word Torah mean? The word Torah comes from the word Horah. Where do we find this word? We found this word actually in last week's parsha, right? Ves Yehuda Sholach Lefanav El Yosef Lahoros Lefanav Goshna. What does that pasuk mean? Lahoros Lefanav Goshna. Two different Perush and Rashi brings. Perush number one, to show us the way. Lahoros, to show us the way. Right? To direct us. Make a left over here, make a right over. How are we going to get to Goshen, right? Goshen's not in the GPS yet because it was over the whatever line, the Egyptian line. So it's not in the GPS, so we don't know how to get to Goshen. So Yehuda has to go ahead and figure out how to get there to give us directions, to direct us. That's shot number one. Instructions. And what's shot number two? What was the point of Goshen, of course, as we know? To make a yeshiva. Medrash HaGod, this is Rashi. Letakim Beis Talmud, Shemisham Teitzei Horeh. That's Torah. Torah is Torah, and Torah is instructions. It's the same thing. Now, maybe we have a problem, because we're men. Do men like to read instructions? No, it's okay. We don't need to do that. My son just put together some furniture in the house. If you're over, you would want to avoid sitting on the white chair with the wheels on the bottom. Because, so, he can't read English. You know what I'm saying? He speaks English fluently. Like, yeah, actually, he reads a little, but... whatever. Often the English instructions written on the furniture is not written, per se, in English. So even if you know English, you're at a disadvantage. Kavu chomer if you don't. So, or, I have these vivid memories of you know, Dad, you know, you get the bike from the store, but it's an extra, whatever, 30 bucks, 50 bucks to put it together. Ah, we'll take care of that ourselves at home. No big deal. Take the box down to the basement. Give me a half hour, it'll be fine. You want me to sit there and like read the instructions? For not instructions, it's just a bike. They're all the same, right? So every once in a while you pass by, you have to look down at the basement, an hour passes. Everything okay down there? Yeah, just a few more minutes. At some point there's the usual blood-curdling screams of a few, here's a fancy word, epithets? Did I pronounce that right? Yeah? That's a nice word to know. If you understand what it means, it's a good word to know. Right? So, And then finally, hours later, you can't bear the pain, and you go downstairs to see what's going on, and there's some sort of mangled unicycle staring back at you. Right? So we don't like instructions. But we know what happens when you don't use instructions. Everything has instructions. Right? Try to get a computer to do something, you don't know how to use a computer. Like, we know how to use a computer, it's like obvious. But you put your grandparents in front of a computer, they can't get it to do anything. Can't even turn it on. Right? Finally, they push one of the buttons. Oh, at least it comes with a coffee holder. Slip their mug in the DVD drive, right? So, that's about the best we can do, isn't it? So, as long as they don't push the button again, you're okay, right? They're sending it to tech support. It's a long story. So, anyway, so we have the idea, Yehud, the Shal, Lahoros, the Fed of Goshenah. Lahoros, the directions, and Lahoros is Torah. Because Torah is the directions. Torah is the instructions. You know, I think Rav Cohen spoke here a couple of years ago and gave a beautiful example. Sometimes, whether it's in our heart of hearts, or even a little bit consciously, we have the following thought. Okay, so the Torah says do this, the Torah says do that. Let's say, just a little, what, is there really... Does the Ribbono Shel Olam really care if you're 5 minutes late for Kriya Shema? You think he's sitting there with a stopwatch? Now, I don't know if he is or if he isn't. You know, it's not written in the Sfarim, neither the regular Sfarim nor the Sfarim HaKadoshim. I don't know. But, suddenly, precision, In other areas, we understand that such a thing as instructions that have to be followed precisely. Right? You have that friend who's a big fan of, I don't know what team, pick a team, a big fan of the Giants. So he's like, Giants are number one at gmail.com. Except there are 4 million people who wanted that Giants are number one. So he has a Giants with like 3 S's. Giants are number one. He always had a little bit of a lisp anyway. Right? So. It's Thursday evening, isn't it? So. You leave out an S. You leave out an S and you reveal all your personal secrets that you want your best friend to know, and you left out an S. Big deal. But big deal. So of course we know what happens. The email goes to, you know, some other Giants fan who has a bit less of a lisp, right? As opposed to this. Nachum? Precision. Torah. By learning Torah, we know the precise instructions of how to make the world run. How to make the world run. No, we have time for, I'm not going to be quoting and think we have so much time. Let me say one more idea. Ooh, or perhaps two. Okay, we'll say 2 more ideas quickly and then we'll have our dramatic closure. If anyone wants to leave, I realize I'm speaking over time. Please feel free, it's okay? I'm not offended. Perhaps the 2 most fundamental points we could say, and I said, the topic starts now and it doesn't end. It doesn't end. First of all, there's so much to say about this. And second of all, we have to constantly be reinforcing within ourselves. Aspect upon aspect of why Talmud Torah is important. A person's connection to Ribbono Shel Olam is through Torah. A person's main connection to Ribbono Shel Olam is through Torah. It's good to do mitzvahs. It's very nice to do mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are very important. And nothing, by the way, I said means to disparage doing mitzvahs. And we're supposed to do mitzvahs exactly when the Shulchan Aruch tells us to do mitzvahs. But a true relationship to Ribbono Shel Olam is Torah. First of all, just we'll start with something simple. Without Torah telling us what to do to be connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, a little bit similar to the point I just said, how are we going to know? Says Rabbi Avinu Shapiro, I don't know how to worship this deity. I have to go to Har Sinai and get the Torah. Then I'll know what to do. Maybe we should all drop everything right now, run out into the forest and hug a tree. Just hug a tree. You know. That's the way to serve Ribbono Shel Olam. Oh! Now you're looking like I'm crazy. Why am I crazy? Because it's not written in the Torah. Yeah. It's not written in the Torah. People come up with interesting inyanim of Avodas Hashem. I learned Torah. The Torah teaches me how to have a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? What? You ever had that situation where you're trying to have a relationship with someone in all the wrong ways? And we won't go into details? Right? Oh, it would be awesome if I could get one of my friends into hockey, right? So there's this awesome graphite, synthetic, fiberglass, whatever stick, and it's on sale for only a ridiculous price as opposed to an obscene price. So that's of course what this person wants. So I buy for them and I get it to them, I wrap it, whatever, or at least the blade with tape, and I wrap it for their birthday, and I give it to them. They look at it like, what are you doing? A hockey stick? Right? Oh, you don't like it? You don't want it? What do I do with a hockey stick? Okay, so I'll take it. Right? But that's obviously, what are you doing buying this person a hockey stick? Right? That's crazy. Elama, you have to listen to the person. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells us what to do, tells us how to relationship. And perhaps the Rosh HaMedabrim on this topic is the Maharal. Let's start with a simple chazal. We know that in a few places in the Torah tells Ledov Kabo. We're supposed to be Dovik to Ribbono Shel Olam. How's a person supposed to be Dovik to Ribbono Shel Olam? Relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How's that supposed to happen? So Rashi quotes the chazal, Ef Shalomar came below Eish Ochlohu. Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, you try to go run too close to Ribbono Shel Olam, you get burned up. Ela he dovek betalmidim uvechachomim. Have dvekis to talmid chachomim. What's pshat? What's pshat this chazal? Have dvekis talmid chachomim? Do we mean to deify our talmid chachomim? And maybe that's a separate conversation also, as to some trends in the world. That's what the chazal means? The talmid chachomim are like God? The pshat, not like that. We're supposed to worship a talmid chacham? I understand, and we'll see the Maharal in a moment. The Talmud Chacham has Torah. When I'm dovek to the Torah of the Talmud Chacham, that's Tveikus Hashem. Kavachomer, if I'm also dovek to Torah myself. The Maharal speaks about this explicitly in the Be'er Hagolah, in the seventh Be'er, Perek Aleph. And he speaks about the Seichel Eloki. When a person that's Tveikus to the Talmud Chacham, he says, you're being dovek to Seichel. And this is what brings you Lavos Hashem Elokecha L'Dov Kabo. Eish Ochla be doing to the Talmud Chacham, because the Talmud Chacham has the Seichel HaTorah. And he speaks elsewhere about this. When we learn Torah, there are two types of learning, says the Maharal. This is an important chapter to look up in the Netzach Yisrael, 31st chapter. There are two types of knowledge, Torah and everything else. Torah is Seichel Elokei, it's inherently godly. A person learns Torah, they're learning the sugya known as the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who knows the Ribbono Shel Olam best? People who know Torah. People who learn Torah. And that's us. We have to learn Torah to be Dovik and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one last point I'll throw in, and I'm going fast, and maybe I hope I'm not ruining the points, is that, and this is important for everyone to hear, we are Torah machines. If you want to really be in touch with your true self, you need to learn Torah. In Lamagta Torah Harvis his Pirkei Avos, Al Tachzik Tova Latzmacha, Ki Lekach Notzar. What's pshat in the Mishnah? So there's a Rabbeinu Yonah and a Rashi there. They both have a similar pshat. It's a Mishnah in the second parak. Different numbering systems in the Mishnah. It's around somewhere between, you know, like 7 and 10, depending on how you're numbering the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So they say, Ki Lekach Notzar, but you have a chiv. Learn Torah, and don't feel good about it if you do, because that's your chiv. You have to do it. So if you have to do it, are you going to feel good about something you have to do? But says the Maharal over there in the Perush Pirkei Avos, Ki Ein Roy, listen carefully please, Ki Ein Roy, Lodom Kasher Lomet Torah B'Shiach Shav Shosa Dover Chassidus. When you learn a lot of Torah, it's not like you're being a tzaddik. Because chassidus is when you do something beyond yourself. She'ein roi l'fi adin. That's not true by Torah. Sha'odom nivra mitchilas b'yosu al zeh l'nima Torah. We were created for Torah learning machines. And you might think, I have shailas on that? We could talk about that too. We've done a lot to gunk up our machines. We've rusted the machines a bit. And perhaps we've thrown in a lot of garbage in the machines. But the Ribbono Shel Olam created us as Torah machines. Lachach Amar, Shein Roy Lo Mahasik Tov Alatzmo, Sha'asa Dover Shu Tov. Because all he's doing, Lachach Notzer Adam, Kimo She Notzer Adam, She Yochal Leishte, says the Maharal. You ever get up from a meal and think, good job chewing that food? Wow. The alimentary canal, baby, you rock that alimentary canal, right? You are the man. No. We don't think about that, right? Because these are natural biological functions. Eating and drinking, it's a natural function. Says the Maharal, we were created to learn like we were created to eat and to drink. And he adds in one word, ba'amo. We're not speaking about amelus tonight. We're just talking about learning. And of course, this is connected to the famous Gemara, Nida daf lamed lamav la domel me'imo. And we'll skip most of the Gemara. The Malach teaches you all the Torah in the womb. Why does the Malach teach us all the Torah in the womb? Kal b'chomer if he's going to make us forget. And he knows he's going to make us forget, because we forget, but he didn't forget. Right? So he knows we're all going to forget. So why does he teach us Torah in the womb? So the famous pshat, to realize that Torah is branded into our souls. We were born naturally loving Torah. We were born naturally loving Torah. And the Gra actually puts these two things together. On the Mishnah Perkei Avos, Perek Beis, I quoted Lekachno Tzarta, V'hainu Shemlam Lomar Betaniro Kol Torah. This is the Gemara Nida Daf Lamed, says the Gra. I think elsewhere the Gra writes, I heard, I don't remember if I ever saw it inside, that Achamei Besum Shana, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, Kavati from the Torah, and he asks how much you've learned, who's the person there, who's the prosecutor? The Malach. The Malach. Like, what happened? We were doing so well together. I told you that birth thing was a bad idea. Right? It's Kiyu, almost like a little, maybe Lahavdil, maybe not Lahavdil. When a Rebbe goes back and, visits, wherever he visits, and he sees some Talmidim from back in the day. Right? So, Baruch Hashem, the vast majority of the time, it's a wonderful, refreshing, and fulfilling experience. But sometimes, there's a little bit implicit tension. But our last aspect of Cheshivas of Torah, it's what we were created to do. There's no such thing as someone who's not cut out for learning. That doesn't mean everyone's cut out for all types of learning. That doesn't mean that we're going to actually learn all the time every day. But there's no such thing as a person saying, learning is just not for me. Right? Eating and drinking, not for me. What do we say about those? Is obviously a problem. The natural order has been disrupted. We need to help fix this. Same thing with Talmud Torah. Now, like I said, I believe it's just a start. Let me wrap up. Obviously, I came in tonight with an explicit intention to try to shake us up a little bit about a topic that you assume that if you're in yeshiva, that again and again and again, where else are we going to hear about the importance of Talmud Torah? If not, in yeshiva. Right? Life gets busy. People have other agendas. We have other agendas. So first things first. Let me summarize. Chashivas HaTorah. Everyone has to have a goal to realize the importance of Talmud Torah. Walk out of here thinking I'm a lunatic. That's fine. But please look up at the Maror Makomos I said and try to disprove me. Open Svarim. Look. Read. What does God hold? What's the Jewish approach? I remember when I was in yeshiva, I wanted to try to get myself more excited about Talmud Torah. And I saw a beautiful, beautiful paragraph. The first paragraph of the Sefer Chovos Talmidim of Clemens Kamer Shapir Zesna. And I remember I was so... the first time I read it, I was really fired up about the paragraph. And then I would read that paragraph every day before Seder, before morning Seder. Ashrei chana Yisrael v'ashrei chelkecha. Es haTorah Maor Hashem Lumo Zachisa V'Lios Ben Shashua Ben Michumo Alisa. Hopefully we understand enough Hebrew. It's beautifully poetic Hebrew, but it's also very powerful words. I hope we understand enough. Malachei Elyon Yekanucha Afi Kirucha Usrafei Kel Alecha Yismu V'Oscha Yechaneu Zel Zeh Shalim. The Malachim ask themselves, Miru Anam Asher Amudei Ish Kodesh Mipid Misbarim. Who's this kid sitting in the Beis Medrash learning with holy fire shooting from his mouth, etc., etc. V'adono Lomim Ramal Kol Ramim Bo Mispor Vito Sumech. The Ribono Shel Olam himself is loving this guy and bragging about this guy at this very moment. Right? It's a beautiful paragraph. Read it often enough. It starts to sink in. We have to start understanding why Talmud Torah is important. We have to start realizing how important. It's not going to happen. No one's going to convince you or teach you of it otherwise elsewhere. So I shouldn't say that, but I suspect that this may be a window of opportunity. And I want to add one last point. People come to yeshiva, and from one perspective, it's a beautiful thing. To come to Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, to dedicate ourselves to Torah. And I'm going to tell you, and I don't know if I have the right to say this or if I'm correct in saying this, but from a certain perspective, there's a very subtle attitude that may make this the absolutely worst thing you can do for your Talmud Torah. Now, I'm not just talking about Shalvim, oh, he rocks Shalvim, or whatever. I'm talking about coming to Eretz Yisrael to learn for a year. Or whatever, taking a year off and learning in yeshiva. Or 2 years. Or 3 years. Did I include everyone? Or taking off 3 years and then like maybe taking a little break because whatever, right? Okay, whatever it is. Fine. We're all covered. Why would this be a horrible idea? From a certain perspective, this gives the impression that we have our, now we learn, check, and now we move on with life. And that is a horrible, wrong, twisted, and skewed approach to life. Talmud Torah is our eternal companion. We and Talmud Torah have to be together forever. And if coming to yeshiva gives us the impression that, okay, been there, done that, now let's move on, then we've done ourselves more harm than good. Then don't come. What yeshiva is supposed to do is it's supposed to bury the Torah so deep in our neshamas that we'll be with it for the rest of our lives. And if we started with this week's parasha, let me give a preview of Shmos. The Ramban in the intro to Shmos tries to tell us what Shmos is about. And if I had to ask you, what's Shmos about? Say for Shmos. Well, there's three pretty major events going on in Shmos. We have the whole Shibudim Mitzrayim thing. Then we have the Geula at Maimon Har Sinai. And then we build a Mishkan. Three major events. Now to say the Ikra Sefer Shmos is just going to Egypt and being slaves, that's a downer. Everyone loves a happy ending. So that's not the Ikra of Sefer Shmos, says the Ramban. What is the theme of Sefer Shmos? We would say, especially if anything I've said has been convincing, Maimon Har Sinai, Yom Hashishi, Talmud Torah. That's the Ikar. The Ramban says something interesting, but then he has a twist. Says the Ramban, that the idea of Sefer Shmos is to get out of Egypt, get the Torah, and build the Mishkan. Once we build the Mishkan, that's Geula. Oh, what a terrible thing to end with. Like maybe when I'm talking about holiness and Kedusha and Tefillah, we could speak about the Mishkan being the pinnacle of everything. But we just spoke about Talmud Torah. Maimon Har Sinai should be the pinnacle of everything. Says the Ramban in the beginning of Truma. He also has an introduction there. What's this whole thing with the Mishkan? Says the Ramban, and I'll paraphrase that quote. Says the Ramban, this idea of the Mishkan is that covered, that Shechina, and that Kabbalah Sator of Har Sinai needs to be concretized so we can always take it with us. What's the center of the Mishkan anyway? The Aron. So says Ramban, he has many parallels. You have to go through the Ramban. It's a very fundamental Ramban. We have to know this Ramban. Maimon Har Sinai and the Mishkan. The Mishkan is meant to remind us, to concretize, to take with us Maimon Har Sinai. So I say that we learn the following. What we have to learn in yeshiva is not so much to learn Torah in yeshiva. We have to learn in yeshiva how to take Torah with us forever. We have to bilvavi mishkan evna. We have to have the mishkan that goes with us, chashivas haTorah. And if I can paraphrase and quote even, a lifelong relationship with Talmud Torah. That's what this is about. If someone had the choice of learning less, but somehow coming out of here with a lifelong commitment, Talmud Torah is going to be part of my life for all the reasons we spoke about tonight and 20 more that I learned on my own over the course of my time, or I heard from other wonderful rabbeim here in yeshiva. That's the way to do it. It's not so. Someone would go on one of these, you know, these NCSY Shabbatons, and they're wonderful, and people are coming back to Judaism, and they're keeping Shabbos, and they're eating kosher, and it's great. For 36 hours, I guess we'll include the Motzei Shabbos event. For 36 hours, I'm worshiping God and feeling on a high spiritual level, etc., etc. And then Sunday morning, they wake up and they're eating treif. And the next Shabbos, there's no Shabbaton. So they're Mechal Shabbos. Now, I'm not going to take away the importance of the Shabbaton. But have we really accomplished something? Did we really do something? The Shabbos was worth something? Okay. But there was no effect long term. That's it. The person's right back to square one. That's obviously not the point of the people who run the Shabbaton. The point of the Shabbaton is going to be razzle-dazzle. It's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. And it's going to implant it in you so that you take it with you forever. A lifelong relationship with Talmud Torah. More important than what we do in yeshiva is what we take from yeshiva. I feel bad that I kept you so late. So maybe this is going to be paradoxical. I told a story recently about the lights in camp. No? It's a special story. I try not to tell too often, but I forget how many years have gone by. So I end with a story. It's a little bit of a corny story, but like I said, I feel a little bad that we went over time. I feel worse when I actually look at the clock. I keep pretending to glance at the clock like I'm sensitive. No idea. So it goes like this. So I'm a counselor, or actually I was a junior counselor. And I always like taking the youngest bunks. I had some wonderful experiences, and I have a lot of hakaras hatov to the places where I worked. I had some wonderful experiences. And youngest kids, Nitzis, I believe they were called, and 8 years old, you know, 9 years old, that age, where I don't know what they did to their parents. I mean, 8 years old, your parents couldn't stand you for like, come on. Whatever. The youngest kids, and they were beautiful neshamas. What can you say? Every Jew is beautiful neshama. Sometimes it was easier to see. Young kids, and so impressionable. You know, maybe it's not the same nowadays, I don't know. But, guys, by the way, every morning when we wake up, you know, we wash Negavasa. What's Negavasa? You know, water 3 times each hand. So the next morning, like an hour before, you know, wake up, all you hear is like water splashing in all directions because everyone's up, right? And before we go to sleep, we say Kriya Shema Hamita. We'll say together the parsha of Kriya Shema and Hamapa. What's Hamapa? Oh, okay, don't worry. I'll say it out loud. You repeat after me. And there's no cursing. Okay, no cursing. What's cursing? No, they don't curse. But they try not to curse. And we read sentences. Okay, we read sentences. You know, great. It didn't go exactly that easily, but almost. They're beautiful kids. And I tried to do a good job. I tried to be a great counselor. And I also tried to learn a lot. My free time, they tried to learn a lot. So, it happens to be that one night, there was this crazy blackout. And it was toward the beginning of a Hebrew month. There wasn't much moon. And in the mountains, when there's a blackout, I mean, it's black, right? Like, really dark. And it's dangerous, too. It's like not like everything is paved. Like, you lose a kid in a blackout, like, and he wanders off the path, and he's in the woods, like, go figure out where you're going to find them. How you're going to find them. Right? Especially little kids. I mean, the older kids, you know, try to get lost, but the little kids, that's like a problem. Maybe it depends how much the parents are going to complain afterwards. Right? So they decide, the camp announces that everyone has to go back to the bunks. You know, every bunk you have, you take a head count to make sure you have all your kids, you're staying in the bunks. Now, I don't know if this is made up, because in camp, there's always those people who make up these crazy stories and crazy rules, just for no reason other than it's camp and it's supposed to happen. So, we have to conserve flashlight power, because no one knows how long the blackout's going to be. So, no flashlights allowed either, and there's like one lantern lit on the porch of every bunk, and everyone's sitting there in the bunk. No night activity, whatever. So, you know, the older kids are probably sitting there thinking, darn, I took a shower and put on aftershave for no reason because now the co-ed sports night is canceled, right? But the younger kids are just sitting in the bunks, just like whimpering. They're really scared, right? So I'm sitting there on my bed, and it's hard to sit around and do nothing. I'm by nature a bit of a, you know, whatever. It's hard to sit around and do nothing. So, there's always, thank God, there's always a weekly parasha, and there's always a Bimavir Sadra. Who knows, it was like Marcus Masi or something, I don't know. So, I take out my chumash and a flashlight, and I'm sitting there, being Mavir Sedra, on the bed. So one of the kids, you know, sniffles out, hey, why is Yosef allowed to use a flashlight and we're not? So one of the other kids says back to him, you dummy, he's learning Torah. And a third kid jumps in, yeah, it's only through the power of Torah that the lights will go back on. Now, wow, did I have these kids brainwashed, huh? So at that, and this kid's crying, and so at that moment I said something really stupid, and you should not, whatever, see? It's a long-term thing. So I said something really stupid, and I shouldn't have said this, and you shouldn't say this. Before we would go to sleep every night, and before we said our hamapa and whatnot, we learned a Mishnah from Pirkei Avos. Okay, so I said, you know what? Oh, one of the kids even said it. One of the kids said, after the kid said, only three Torah lights go on, a fourth kid jumps in and says, well, maybe if we all learn our Mishnah together, then the lights will go back on. He really said that. So I said, that's a good idea. We'll learn our Mishnah together, and the lights will go back on. Bad. So, I look for him, so that's Kaylin. I take out the up to the page we're up to. And I tell you, I really don't remember myself doing anything special there. We learned the Mishnah, and you know, Shomer Tzoyim Hashem. We say the last word of the Mishnah, and the lights went back on. And the kids go crazy. They're jumping and dancing and they're for days they're walking around camp. Yeah, we got the lights back on. No, it was a Mishnah. It was a Mishnah. And I'll tell you one thing. I told this story once at Shal Shudas here in Shalvim a bunch of years ago. And after this is almost like a Kalbachian moment. So someone comes up to me after Shal Shudas. He says, Rebbe, do you recognize me? I look up at this guy. He's about 6'2". I know I don't get out there as much as I could, Shostrily, and I apologize. But I look at this guy. I'm thinking, there's no way this guy. I mean, he's not in Shalvim. I don't know who this guy is. This is a trick. So I say, I apologize, but no. So he said, I don't want to say his real name, you know, Reuven Schwartz. I look at him for a second. Cute little Ruby? He was like, you know, 2'3", blonde, blue eyes, bag, you know, whatever. Just like a little. He's 6'2". And I said, that's you? He said, yeah, it's me. And he said, that story you told? I'm thinking, because I'm already thinking like one step ahead. I'm thinking, wait a second, who was in that bunk? Because I was a counselor for 2 or 3 summers. Who's in the bunk? He says, yeah, I was there. I was in the bunk. I said, did I tell her right? He said, just like it happened. I thought, 10 years later, guys, I want these. He remembers the story. Unbelievable. So, apparently, we have an inner chush for the power and importance of Torah. The child in us knows everything I said tonight is true and wants to act on it. We've perhaps made it a little bit more difficult for ourselves, or maybe we just need to be a little bit more educated. But hopefully, what came out of tonight, an appreciation for the Hashivas of Torah, an inspiration and an encouragement to try to understand why we learn Torah and why Torah is important, and the realization that of course it's important to do well in yeshiva, but what's even more important is what you're going to take with you out of yeshiva, hopefully a lifelong relationship with Talmud Torah. I apologize for lateness and I thank you so much for listening.